بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his companions, and those who follow him sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about the ways to protect ourselves from envy and the evil eye, and the title of the class is The Greatest Verse of the Holy Quran. Last week, we learned the ways about taking care about protecting ourselves from the envy and evil eye, and from these ways we learned that seeking refuge in Allah by recitation of both Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas, this recitation is the Prophet's recommendation for the protection against envy and evil eye. We learned that actually we must recite these two surahs before going to bed, so that inshallah they will be a way to make the shaitan to be away from us during night. And also when we wake up in the morning, we must recite Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas again in the morning to protect ourselves from the shaitan, and actually from envy and evil eye. Also, we learned that believing in Allah's decree, that is to say the belief that Allah is the protector and none can harm except by Allah's will, this belief is very important for the protection of the fear against evil and envy eye. You must send to yourself a message that I am not afraid of envy or evil eye, because Allah is the one who has the will, and Allah is the one who can protect me, and none can harm me except by the will of Allah. Allah is the most merciful. I am believing in Allah's decree. The third way in to protect yourself against envy and evil eye is patience, and also returning good for bad. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that you must treat the envious people with good manners, with patience, and returning their bad for good. This will help them to stop having envy in their hearts, as they will observe that you are treating them in a good way. It was recommended that giving sadaqah, charity, is a way to be close to Allah and to have His mercy, and it is a way to protect against any disasters and hardships. And this means that giving sadaqah is a way to protect against envy and evil eye. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn more about protection against envy and evil eye. And actually, today we will learn that when you seek refuge in Allah according to the verses of the Holy Quran, inshallah, this is a good way to protect yourself against envy and evil eye. Today, inshallah, we will learn about the greatest verse of the Holy Quran, which is verse number 255 from Surah Al-Baqarah. That is to say, Ayat al-Kursi. Actually, Ayat al-Kursi is the greatest verse of the Holy Quran according to the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. And it is the greatest verse of the Holy Quran because it summarizes the basic principle of Islamic faith, that is to say, the oneness of Allah, through mentioning the attributes of Allah. So, inshallah, today we will learn the meaning of Ayat al-Kursi. And at the beginning, let us learn that Ayat al-Kursi is a protection against shaitan and shaitan and envy and evil eye. Actually, this was clear from the following story. Abu Huraira said, Allah's messenger assigned me to keep watch over the sadaqah, charity of Ramadan. A person snuck in and started taking handfuls of food stuff. I caught him and said, by Allah, I will take you to Allah's messenger. The person said, release me, for I am needy and I have many dependents. I am in great need. So I released him, and in the morning Allah's Messenger asked me, "What did your prisoner do yesterday?" Abu Huraira said, "O Allah's Messenger, he complained of being needy and of having many dependents, so I let him go." Allah's Messenger said, "Indeed, he told you a lie, and he will be coming again. I believed that he would show up again, for Allah's Messenger has told me that he would return. So I watched for him. When he showed up and started stealing handfuls of foodstuff, I caught hold of him and said, 'I will take you to Allah's Messenger.' He said, 'Leave me, for I am very needy and I have many dependents. I promise I will not come back again.' So I let him go. In the morning, for the second time, Allah's Messenger asked me, 'What did your prisoner do last night?' So Abu Huraira said, I replied, 'O Messenger of Allah, he complained of his great need and of too many dependents. So I took pity on him and set him free.' Allah's Messenger said, 'Verily, he told you a lie. He will return.' So I waited for him for the third time, and when he came in and started stealing handfuls of foodstuff, I caught hold of him and said, 'I will surely take you to Allah's Messenger, as it is the third time. You promised not to return, yet you returned.' He said, 'Let me teach you some words which Allah will give you benefit from.' I asked, 'What are they?' He replied, 'When you go to bed, recite Ayat al-Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu qayyum, till you finish the whole verse. If you do so, Allah will appoint a guard for you who will stay with you, and no shaitan will come near you until morning.' So I released him. In the morning, Allah's Messenger asked, 'What did your prisoner do yesterday?' I replied, 'O Allah's Messenger, he claimed that he would teach me some words by which Allah will grant me some benefit.' So I let him go. Allah's Messenger asked, 'What are they?' I replied. He said to me, 'Whenever you go to bed, recite Ayat al-Kursi from the beginning to the end, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu qayyum.' He further said to me, 'If you do so, Allah will appoint a guard for you who will stay with you, and no shaitan will come near you until morning.' The Prophet said, 'He spoke the truth, although he is a liar. Do you know whom you were talking to these three nights?' Abu Huraira said, 'No.' So Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, 'It was shaitan.'" So actually this is the story which is mentioned by Abu Huraira regarding the shaitan, and regarding that the shaitan taught him that recitation of of Ayat al-Kursi before going to bed is a protection until morning, as Allah will appoint a guard for you until morning to protect you from the shaitan. So this is a clear indication that this verse of the Quran, Ayat al-Kursi, is a protection from shaitan, and we must recite it before going to bed, and again we must recite it when we wake up in the morning, so that we will have a protection day and night against the shaitan. So this is Ayat al-Kursi, ayah number 255 from surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah. Accordingly, we must know the meaning of the greatest verse of the Holy Quran, so that when we recite this verse, we will be aware of its meaning, and we will feel the sincerity towards its meaning, and we will get the benefit of this great verse of the Quran. Actually, in order to know the meaning of the greatest verse of the Quran, we must know that Ayat al-Kursi has 10 complete Arabic sentences. Let us first recite Ayat al-Kursi in Arabic and in English, and then learn in full details about the meaning of the 10 complete Arabic sentences of Ayat al-Kursi, so that inshallah it will be a protection for us the whole day. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه، يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم، ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء، وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض، ولا يؤوده حفظهما، وهو العلي العظيم. صدق الله العظيم. Let us now know the meaning of let us know the translation of Ayat al-Kursi, Ayah number 255 of Surah number 2, Surah al-Baqarah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah la ilaha illa huwa. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah, the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. Neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him. To him belongs whatever is in the heaven and whatever is on the earth. Who is he that can intercede with him except with his permission? He knows what happens to them, his creatures, in this world, and what will happen to them in the hereafter, and they will never compass anything of his knowledge except that which he wills. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and he feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them, and he is the most high, the most great. So actually this is Ayatul Kursi. Let us learn its meaning in details so that inshallah we will be more closer to Allah's attributes and Allah's names and Allah's mercy inshallah. So the first Arabic sentence of this ayah or of this verse is Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, Allah, there is no true God but Him. The meaning of this sentence is that there is no Lord but Allah, there is none who deserves worship but Allah, none are to be worshipped instead of Him or along with Him. This is our purpose in life and the reason Allah sent prophets and reveals books, and it is this aspect about which we will be judged on the Day of Judgment. Allah is one and none has the right to be worshipped but Allah. We should associate no partners with Him. He alone has the right to be worshipped. So this is the first Arabic sentence of Ayat al-Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah. Allah is the only God. Allah is the only God. So actually, we must know, sister, that this is our purpose in life. Why Allah created us in this life? To worship Him alone, to be true worshippers of Allah. And for that reason, Allah sent the prophets and Allah revealed the books so that we will have guidance regarding the purpose of our creation, which is the worshipping of Allah alone. And worshipping of Allah means obeying the commands of Allah the Almighty and accepting Allah's decree. This is the meaning of worshipping Allah, to be close to Allah, to accept all the decree of Allah and to obey the commands of Allah, to be true servants of Allah, and Allah will reward us with all the blessings in this life and will reward us with the eternal paradise inshallah. So it must be clear for every one of us that the most important sentence in the Holy Quran is Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, Allah, there is no God but Him. Let us move now to the second Arabic sentence in this verse, in this ayah, which is Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, the ever-living, the eternal master of all. The meaning of this sentence is that while everything on this earth is moral and temporary, Allah is eternal and ever-living. He is Allah who sustains everyone and everything. The living means the eternal, who has no beginning and will have no end. All things worshipped beside Allah are neither ever living nor does creation depend on them. Rather, they themselves depend upon Allah for their existence and sustenance. Allah is self-sufficient who sustains or else. He neither changes nor disappears. Creation can't exist without Allah holding it together. So again, we must believe that Allah is the ever-living. Allah is the sustainer of all that exists. Accordingly, He is the ever-living, and actually Allah has no beginning and will have no end. This is Allah, this is our Lord, who is actually having His attributes which are beyond our imagination. So we must believe all the time that Allah's attributes and names are beyond our imagination, and we are just trying to have it close to our hearts as we can. So Allah is the ever-living, and He is the one who sustains everyone and everything. The third Arabic statement, which is related to the meaning that Allah is the only God, is that لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. This is the third statement. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him. No shortcoming or ignorance ever touches Allah. Rather, He is aware of and controls what every spirit earns. He has perfect watch over everything. Nothing except escapes His knowledge, and no secret matter is secret for Him. Among His perfect attributes is the fact that He is never affected by slumber or sleep. So we must believe that Allah, the ever-living, is all the time aware of all what is happening in His kingdom, in the heavens and in the earth, a fact which actually is related to His majesty. The fourth statement, or the fourth effect in this verse of the Quran, is له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. To Him belongs whatever is in the heaven and whatever is in the earth. So this means that Allah is the بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, the owner of everything. And actually we must have a pause in relation to this fact. Allah is the only owner of everything. Why? Because Allah is the only creator of everything that is in the heavens and in the earth and in between. Allah creates everything. Accordingly, Allah owns everything. So if Allah is the owner of everything, this means that all what we have in our life, all what we have, is just a trust. A trust from Allah the Almighty, because the only one who owns in reality is Allah. And what is the proof? The proof is that when we die without having anything with us. Whatever we believe that we own in this life, for example, the car, the house, the clothes, we never take it with us when we leave this life. So this means that I am not the owner of anything because I live alone. So long I live alone, this means that the ownership is only to Allah, and whatever I have is a trust. Accordingly, I must follow the rules of the owner regarding the trust which I have. For example, if Allah gave me kids, so I must follow the rules of Allah regarding raising my kids, because my kids are a trust from Allah, and Allah will question me about them on the day of judgment. Allah will question me regarding how I raised my children. According to the rules of the only owner, Allah the Almighty, all according to my own rules. So if I answer that, O Allah, I raised my kids according to your rules which are mentioned in the Holy Quran and in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, this means that I took care of the trust correctly, because I took care of my trust according to the rules of the owner of the trust, that is to say Allah the Almighty, the only owner in this life. But if I answer the question on the day of judgment regarding my kids, that I raised them according to my own rules, this means that I failed in the test of the trust of my kids, because my kids are a trust and they are a test for me in this worldly life. If I raised them according to my own rules, which are different from Allah's rules, this means that I didn't follow the rules of the owner. Regarding the trust, this is a failure and I will be punished. Accordingly, when it is clear for every one of us that the only owner in this life is Allah the Almighty, the creator of everything, if this fact is clear for me, I will be all the time trying my best to follow the rules of the owner in everything. If I want to earn money, to buy car, to buy house, to have this trust in my life, I will follow the rules of the owner regarding earning legal money, halal money. I will never earn haram money, because haram money is against the rules of the owner of everything, Allah the Almighty, and He will actually, He will never give me mercy, and actually regarding the trust which I have in my life. So believing that Allah is the only owner of everything actually will be all the time a reminder for me to follow the rules of the owner in whatever trust Allah give me in this life. The fifth sentence, Arabic sentence in Ayat al-Kursi is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Man zalladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'iznih. Who is there that can intercede with him except by his permission? Actually, we must believe that no one can intercede and can be an advocate on behalf of someone without Allah's permission and pleasure. Allah has perfect control of everything. Intercession is by Allah's grace and mercy and reserved on the Day of Judgment only for those whom Allah allows to intercede, such as the prophets. As for those who people worship for... This is a fact, actually, let us stop here. This is a fact that none can intercede on the Day of Judgment except by the permission of Allah the Almighty. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, "The people will come to me on the Day of Judgment and I will proceed to seek my Lord's permission. I will be granted leave. Then when I see him," this means that when Prophet Muhammad will see Allah, Prophet Muhammad is saying, I will fall prostrate. Allah will allow me to remain in that state so long as He will. Then it will be said, Muhammad, raise your head and ask. You will be heard and intercede. Your intercession will be granted. Then I will praise my Lord with words that He will reveal to me. Therefore, I shall begin to intercede, but a limit will be set about what kind of people it is for whom I could intercede. So, I will take them out of the fire and move them into the paradise. So, it is clear from this hadith of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, that none can intercede with Allah except by Allah's permission. The sixth statement in the Ayat al-Kursi, the sixth Arabic statement and sentence is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum. He knows all that lies open before them and all that lies hidden from them. The meaning of this statement is that Allah's knowledge is absolute and is not conditioned by space or time. Allah knows the state of His creation. He knows what was, what is, and what will be. He knows what is hidden and what is manifest. He knows what His creatures achieved and what they lost. He knows what they did in the past, what they will do in the future. He knows what they hide and what they show. Nothing escapes His knowledge. His knowledge is unlimited. As Allah said in the Holy Quran in Surah number 21, verse number 110, He knows what is before them and behind them, but they can't compass it in knowledge. We must believe that Allah is aware of all our deeds and actions, and Allah controls what every spirit earns. He has perfect watch over everything. To Him belongs what is in the heavens and the earth, and this indicates that all the creatures come under Allah's knowledge and control. We must also believe that fate and destiny are in Allah's control, and He knows what happens to His creatures in this world and what will happen to them in the hereafter. Allah has perfect knowledge of all creation and its past, present and future. The seventh statement, which is mentioned in Ayat al-Kursi regarding Allah's attributes, is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء. They can't attain anything of his knowledge save as he wills. What is the meaning of this statement? It means that all knowledge is from Allah, and we can never learn anything except which Allah wills. This is a very important fact which every one of us must know and must learn. Allah has blessed human beings with the gift of knowledge, but no matter how much human knowledge progresses, it will remain a drop in the ocean compared to the divine knowledge. We must be aware that whatever knowledge the human beings were allowed to learn and to know, it is actually out of Allah's mercy. But we must also believe that we can't compare human knowledge with Allah's knowledge, because our knowledge to Allah's knowledge is less than a drop in the ocean, because Allah knows everything in the heavens and in the earth and in between, and with whatever knowledge human beings have, it is actually out of Allah's mercy and it is through Allah's will. The eighth statement, which is mentioned in Ayat al-Kursi, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wasi'a kursiyuhu as-samawati wal-ard. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth. Actually, regarding the meaning of this verse, it is actually his kursi. What is the kursi? In English, the kursi is the footstool. But no one knows about the kursi or the footstool of Allah, and actually it is not the meaning of this Arabic word. The kursi is not the throne, it is not the throne, but no one knows what is the meaning of the word kursi, and we keep it like this and we leave the knowledge to Allah. We just believe that the seven heavens and the seven earths, actually if they were laid side by side, they would add up to the size of a ring in a desert compared to Allah's kursi. This means that Allah's kursi is greater than the heavens and the earth. Now we will learn about the ninth statement, which is mentioned, or Arabic sentence, which is mentioned in Ayat al-Kursi, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. What is the meaning of this statement? The meaning is that Allah feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving the heavens and the earth. It doesn't burden Allah or cause Him fatigue to protect the heavens and the earth and that is in between them. Rather, it is an easy matter for Him. Further, Allah sustains everything. Allah has perfect watch over everything. Nothing ever escapes Allah's knowledge, and no matter is ever a secret for Him. All matters are insignificant and humble before Him. He is the most rich. He does what He wills, and no one can ask Him about what He does while they will be asked. He has supreme power over all things. He is the most high, the greatest. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. The last sentence in Ayat al-Kursi is بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وهو العلي العظيم. He is the most high, the most great. Allah actually is the most high and the most great beyond the human imagination. Allah is the most high, nothing is above him and nothing resembles him. Allah is the possessor of majesty, perfection, glory and beauty. Allah is the supreme, Allah is the most great. Actually, this is Ayat al-Kursi, the greatest verse of the Quran, which is sending a very important message to every Muslim. No matter how powerful or great human being may grow, he can never rise above being a servant of Allah. Once this fact is firmly established in man's mind, it will enhance his status as a servant of Allah and restrain his pride and transgression. We will truly fear Allah and appreciate his majesty and power, and we will seek to be more humble towards Allah and Allah's servants. So again, sister, this is Ayat al-Kursi, the greatest verse of the Holy Quran. We will recite it again in English. And actually, I hope that every one of us will recite it before going to bed and the moment you wake up in the morning, so that inshallah you will have the protection of Allah the whole day. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, none has the right to be worshipped by He. But He, the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists, neither slumber nor sleep overtakes Him. To Him belongs whatever is in the earth and whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Who is He that can intercede with Him except with His permission? He knows what happens to them, His creatures, in this world and what will happen to them in the hereafter, and they will never compass anything of His knowledge except that which He wills. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and He feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them, and Allah is the most high, the most great. صدق الله العظيم. And let us make the dua. And inshallah, next week we will learn about the treatment against envy and even eye. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause Your love to exceed all loves in us and cause Your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in Your religion and keep it contented with Your worship. O Allah, guide us with those whom You have guided. O Allah, strengthen us with those whom You have given His strength. O Allah, take us to Your care with those whom You have taken to Your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in You from a decline in Your favor, from a change in Your protection, from Your sudden punishment and all Your displeasure. O Allah, our Lord, we ask Your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask You to increase Your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.